Okay, we are mic'd up. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for everyone here, Lord. What a blessing it is to be able to come and worship you today with all the mothers, Lord, that you have given us. What a blessing they are to us. And everything, Lord, that you have given us in them. I ask, Lord, for wisdom today in preaching your word, that you would give me the words to say and that you would take from what is yours and give to those, Lord, who need to hear what you would have to say to them. So we thank you. I give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers who are here with us today in the congregation. We honor you and are pleased to be able to worship with you on this great day. This day is officially celebrated on the second Sunday of May annually and has been recognized here in the United States since 1908. It was first celebrated, though, through a Methodist worship service in Crafton, West Virginia. So it was the believers who decided to praise God for the women that we have, and I am glad that they did. Mother's Day was organized by a woman named Anna Jarvis in honor of her mother. So her mother's name was Ann, and her name was Anna. And Anna led the efforts to make Mother's Day a national holiday. It didn't become a national holiday, though, until after her mother's death in 1905. Regrettably, Ann's mother didn't live to see it come to fruition. Her mother, Ann Jarvis, initiated the efforts to have it recognized shortly after the Civil War. It was started as a way to bring groups of mothers together from both sides whose son had fought or died on opposite sides of the war. So it was a reconciliation type of thing. Peace groups were formed and tried to establish holidays after the war, not just Mother's Day, as a way of uniting families with the goal of resolving conflict without the necessity of war. Isn't that a novel idea? I think in our written history, I read one time there was only about 110 years in our entire history there hasn't been a war somewhere in the world. So the Civil War was the deadliest conflict in American history. Conservative estimates place the death toll at approximately 620,000 and possibly as high as 851,000 deaths. The most commonly cited figures suggest that the Union deaths were around 360,222 and the Confederate death toll around 258,000. I found that interesting that the winning side had the most deaths. Somehow that didn't seem right to me. We celebrate both Anna Jarvis and her mother Ann for their tireless efforts to bring motherhood to the forefront of the American thinking. So Mother's Day didn't become official until 1908, but they started the effort in 1865. So, you know, it was like 40 years until they finally got it to be a national holiday. So in Exodus 20, God has given us the Ten Commandments. And there they are. And of course, I can't read them because I'm too far away and the print's too small. But I know them by heart anyways. But what I want you to look at, I am the Lord your God. Thou shalt not have no gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. Honor their father and mother. Okay? Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet. The first four commandments are about our relationship with God. And if we look back on that, you know, we can see, you know, that they're all about God keeping holy the Sabbath, not using his name in vain, loving the Lord. You know, they're all about him. But the next six are about our relationship to one another. What I want you to see today is that the very first commandment in man's relationship to one another is to honor our father and mother. How about that? Before anything else. And I think that is one of the things that are problematic today with what's going on in this country, where you have single mothers trying to raise kids and the father took off and you know, they're on the streets and poor mom's working two jobs, you know, to keep everything afloat, and the kids just run amok. They have no father figure, no one to guide them. That's not the way God intended it to be. So the Hebrew word in Exodus 20:12, which is that the first commandment about honoring mother and father, for the Hebrew word honor is kavod. And it means to make heavy. And I'm thinking, to make heavy? What's that? The way we are to honor our mothers and fathers is we make our relationship with them weighty, very weighty relationship, of great, extreme importance, worthy of exceptional respect, abounding and full of richness. And this one caught me off guard, to bear in burden. And I thought, what the heck is that, to bear in burden? So I had to go back and look in the Talmud, which is a rabbinical teaching. And what that means is that as our parents age and they start having medical problems and difficulty getting around, we are to bear their burden. It's on us to take care of our parents, which is kind of opposite of what we do. Many people, even when the parents are able to be cared for, they're so willing to throw them in a home so they don't have to bother with them. But God tells us that this weighty relationship that we're supposed to have with our mother and father, it's upon us to bear the burden of their aging and to help them through them aging years. And I know a lot of people here already, they go visit their mothers and fathers. They take them to medical appointments. They make sure they have enough food and that everything's going right. And when my parents were aging, we came a couple times. They had left stuff on the stove and forgot about it, and it was burning. And we decided that it wasn't a good idea that they live alone. So my brother was a doctor, and he retired. And he never was married, never had any children or anything. He lived upstairs, and his doctor's office was downstairs. And me and my brothers went in. We remodeled the whole place, and I wired up their, you know, defibrillators and their heart monitors and all that stuff. And we put in a kitchen, and we put in a bath and bedrooms and all that, all on the first floor, so that we could care for them and my brother could keep an eye on them. So, you know, this weighty relationship with our parents to love and honor them until they go to be with the Lord, or if they're not saved, to die. We are to do that, to honor them. Now, turn with me to Ephesians 6:2, if you have your Bibles with you. And I just wanted to see how many people would look it up. I got it right there. I'm glad you're looking in your Bibles. Paul says it this way: honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. So the first four commandments about loving God and doing all them things, that's just a command, just do it. But when it comes to honoring your mothers and father, God gives us a promise, and Paul tells us, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. There's 800 promises in Scripture. God says, if you do this, I'll do that. And he says, if you honor your mother and father, it will go well with you, and you may enjoy long life on the earth. So it doesn't necessarily, this Scripture is not saying that you'll live longer. It's saying that you'll live better because of honoring your mother and father. Things will go well with you. God will will make the path easier for you if you do honor your mother and father. Okay? So, as the Bible teaches, we will honor all the mothers today in our congregation because they are worthy of great respect, and we will recognize certain milestones in the lives of mothers. Also, we'll remember Ann Jarvis and her tireless work in the establishment of Mother's Day. So I'll need to ask for a little help from the congregation like we did last year. Flo, if you want to start, get some help. Renee, if you want to help her. I think we know the answer to this, but she's not here today. So who is the oldest mother here today? Let's start at 75. How many 75s? Going once. 80. Twice. 81. We got a winner. Vira. Thank you, Vira. So Flo has a gift for you there. How old?
87.
Oh, how old are you, Vira? I didn't want to ask. 88. She's 88. You missed it by 1 year. Okay. Who's the youngest mother? We know that, too. Malia, are you the youngest mother? Okay. I'm not going to judge, but she looks like the youngest mother, so. The mother with the most children. I think last year we had four or five. How about five?
Yeah, I made doubles.
We got any fives in here? None. Four? Two. We have two.
Jeannie Ruth.
Who? Oh, and Jean. Give one to Daryl for Jean.
Okay. I have six.
Oh, she's a winner. She got six.
Yay.
Ida.
Okay, I made extras, so I have enough for everything.
Yeah, if we'll give out the rest of them. We have extras. Okay. So you have Ruth Ann. You got Daryl's wife. You got Jewel. Did we miss anyone? Joel. Joel.
Joel. Okay.
Okay. The mother with the most grandchildren. I don't even know where to start here.
I've got 13.
13. Can we beat 13? How many?
I have 28.
28. But you already got one. 13. 28. And you're so young. What'd you start when you were like five?
Who had the
13? Linda? Hey. Next one up. The mother with the oldest son. How many moms have children that are 50? Who else? Just Vira. Lucy, 51. 52. 53. Okay, give one to Lucy then. I was just curious. Fifty's a new 30. Okay. The mother with the oldest daughter. Do we have daughters in their 40s? Ruth Ann. How old? Older than 55?
60.
56. 58. 57.
68.
58. 58.
68.
68. We got a winner. One for Virginia. I knew you were going to get in there somewhere.
Okay. See, we're helping out, Mama.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Okay. How about the longest married mother currently? We got 50 years?
66.
Anyone else? We got 50 years. Anyone? 40 years. Yeah. Us. 40 years? We don't have any 40s? Wow. We're old, dear. We're old. Give yourself a basket there.
Who had the oldest daughter?
I haven't even... Someone else that hasn't got one, yeah. Okay. Okay, and the mother who traveled the furthest today. You might end up with this one, Pam.
No?
How long?
17.
17 miles. Any more than 17 miles? Two. Well, one. They each got one. One for Mary. It's always a fun thing to do, and Renee and Flo are on top of that because they know how to handle that kind of thing. Thank you. Now, for the rest of you mothers, you don't get nothing. No. There's something for everybody back there. We just wanted to acknowledge the milestones here in the congregation. So, in Scripture, God is mostly described in the masculine gender. Isn't he? He's called our Father. Pronouns such as he and him are used very frequently throughout Scripture, Old and New Testament. Jesus is called the Son, masculine gender. But we are taught that God is Spirit. That's in John 4:24. We are told in Hebrews 2:14 that Jesus took on flesh and blood to share in our humanity. In other words, he was spirit too. He didn't have a physical body until he came to the earth to be one of us. Yet we're not both men and women made in God's image. We were. Okay? Would not God also have to engender what we would describe as feminine characteristics, one that he would create woman from? The answer to that is yes. Nod your head, yes, okay? And Scripture tells us that, and I'm going to show you. In speaking to the children of Abraham, I'm going to tell you what God has said. Now, when we think of children of Abraham, of course we think of Jews, but we are children of Abraham, because God said he would be the father of many nations, and those who believe, who had the faith in God that Abraham did, and we put our faith in God, we have become children of God, and we have become descendants of Abraham, and it says Abraham is our father. So what I'm about to show you applies to us. In Isaiah 66:13, he says, as a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. He comforts us like a mother. I remember when my girls were little, you know, Dad had to do everything. Flo would see a shoestring untied and she'd say, my dad will do that. But if they got injured, who did they run to? Mom. And she would hug them and kiss them. It's okay, honey. We'll put a Band-Aid on it and do all that kind of stuff. So the comfort that the mothers have or share with their children comes from God's character. And Scripture tells us that. Woman did not develop the ability to comfort out of thin air. The ability was given to them from within God's very character. Okay? Here God is showing a very tender side of his love for Israel in feminine terminology. And the reason I say in feminine terminology is because he's spirit. He doesn't have a body. Okay? But the characteristics are all there in his person. Isaiah 49:15 says, "Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you." So as a mother becomes the baby and her bond in a way that only a mother and a child can, as the years go by, he said, you know, Mom may forget about you as time goes on. He said, but I never will. I'll be just like the mother when you were first born and suckled the baby at your breast. Very feminine characteristics. Deuteronomy 32:11 describes that God is like a mother eagle hovering over her young. And just like an eagle, I'd hate to get Mom mad if you tried to do something to the kids. She'd rip you to pieces, okay? Now, Luke 13:34 says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who," this is Jesus speaking, "you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, yet you are not willing." So God wants to gather his people. He wants to gather us as a mother hen would gather chicks under the wing. Very, very feminine thinking. In Genesis 2:24, when God ordained the covenant of marriage, he said that the two would become one flesh. God created man in his image. So the resulting family coming from the union of man and woman were modeled after God's characteristics and traits. Not all God-like characteristics are found in one gender any more than they are found in one race. It is worth remembering God did not create a superior and inferior sex, just like he did not create a superior and inferior race. I don't know why that doubled up. It looked great on my PowerPoint. God did, however, make man to be the spiritual leader. Even though the women sex is not inferior to the male, he did have a plan to how that should go in the family. And God created different sexes to work together in unity. That's why he said the two would become one flesh, not just physically, but they would be one emotionally and one in how they nurture their children. But he created them to work in unity, but to display the characteristics he gave to each sex, not this woke stuff where we see the guys in dresses and makeup and mustaches and beards and all that stuff, crazy stuff. He wanted us to display the things that he created in us, not the stuff that we made up in our head. I remember watching on the news one time, Flo, and I got a big kick of that. The woman was talking to a trans guy who trans into a woman, and she called him he. He said, "Excuse me, I'm a woman." And she said, "Don't drag me into your delusion." I look at you, I see a man, I hear a man. You talk like a man, you act like a man, but you wear a dress. You're a man in a dress. So, together we make up the complete image of God. Women with some of the traits, men with the other traits. Okay? One completes what he didn't fully give the other. There's a movie with Tom Cruise. He says to the woman, "You complete me." I always like that. Together we learn from each other's traits and characteristics to balance each other out. Now, when I first met Flo, and we were married, we didn't have any children yet. You know, I was in the military. I was a martial artist. I was all this kind of stuff. Pretty hard. And I meet this woman, and she's kind, and she's soft and everything. And I had to learn how to work with the kids and do all that kind of stuff, and I'd have to watch her to see how to do it. I didn't have a clue, really. It's more than interesting to note that neither man nor woman are 100% male or female. This was something interesting I found out. In human reproductive glands, women's ovaries produce a small but significant amount of the male hormone androgen, which is testosterone. Women produce testosterone. And in the testicular canals of men, a small but significant amount of estrogen is produced. In this way, each sex can benefit from the other's traits. And me, while I was trying to learn the soft side and the tenderness of raising kids, I already had some estrogen in me. God saw that coming when He designed us. Each sex is able to learn and benefit from the other's traits. In Scripture, we see ample and abundant masculine traits like strength, power, aggressiveness, being a provider, and leadership qualities that God had given to men. We see that all through the Old Testament and New Testament. We also see in Scripture where God has given feminine traits like beauty, grace, tenderness, caring, and affection to women. Though different traits were given to each sex, God designed them to be used together for the benefit of mankind. So today we lift up and honor God's design and plan for the lives of women that He made in His image and likeness. Happy Mother's Day. Let's pray. I thank You, Heavenly Father, for all the women here. Lord, I thank You for giving them to us so that, Lord, we can benefit from all the things that You have given them in terms of traits and characteristics, and Lord, so that they can benefit from the traits and characteristics that You have given the men. But today, we honor the mothers, Lord. And we give thanks for them in Jesus' name. Amen.